This is an iHeart podcast. Guaranteed human.
Why should you listen to Armstrong and Getty On Demand?
We're not boring. A lot of news is boring.
And tedious.
And depressing.
And makes you angry. You don't want to live your life like that.
Hey, I'm Jack Armstrong. He's Joe Getty.
We're Armstrong and Getty.
We try to bring you the truth.
And help you figure out this crazy modern world.
How about something about a comedic tone?
We have a winner.
Yes. Listen to Armstrong and Getty On Demand on the iHeartRadio app,
Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
DEI is dead. No, it is not. No, it is not. We're going to talk about that tonight. Robbie Starbuck joins us to talk about that. Jeffrey Tucker, all this new mRNA stuff. We have updates on ICE raids. What a show tonight on I'm Right. You know what the worst part, one of the worst parts about being in the Marine Corps was? Because this is going to come back to DEI. Stay with me. It's going to be about DEI and cultural Marxism and the culture wars where we're at right now. Just stay with me. But one of the things that bothered me the most about the Marine Corps was this. Firewatch. You ever heard of that before? Every Marine's nodding his head. But here's what Firewatch is. Wherever you are, whether you're in the barracks, maybe you're out in the field during peacetime at a military base somewhere, and of course, when you're actually in combat in Iraq. But no matter what, when it's time to go to sleep at night, there are always people awake. You take turns, an hour on, 4 hours off, whatever, but you always have some people awake and watching. It's called Firewatch. And I hated it. You know why I hated it? Not all the time, don't get me wrong, it was never fun to wake up for Firewatch, but I hated it because you would finish maybe a mission, maybe a long training op, and you're finally done and everyone's exhausted. And let's say it was peacetime, you're out in the deserts of California or something somewhere, and they would still make somebody stay up every time. Can't we all just go to sleep? That was my thinking, that was really most of our thinking. But no, you see, you always need to be watchful, always, no matter where you are, no matter what you've done, because there is always danger out there somewhere. Right now, we are getting great things out of the Trump administration. I am so impressed so far. Trump 2.0 is so superior to Trump 1.0. I'm not even sure they're the same human being at this point in time. Speaking clearly, overwhelmingly, getting things done, talking about two genders right away.
As of today, it will henceforth be the official policy of the United States government that there are only two genders, male and female.
Yes, speaking clearly, getting things done. And we're watching all these news stories out there about how they're eliminating DEI from every single government department. It's not just the federal government. In the corporate world, DEI, their departments are shuttering day and night. Universities across the country are closing their DEI. All this anti-white man racist filth that has spread through this country. It's closing, it's closing, it's closing. We've even got the Trump administrations out there taking out military leaders like this Linda Fagan with the Coast Guard.
We currently have nearly 40% women enrolled at the Coast Guard Academy. I'm really excited about the talent and the diversity that I see coming through the academy. My daughter is in the Coast Guard as a lieutenant, and there is just nothing but opportunity for her and all of the men and women that have joined the service. I'm really excited about the future as we look ahead.
Very exciting. We're getting all these men out of here, and we're only hiring women. It's very exciting. But she's fired now, and so I'm seeing a lot of this from our side. DEI's dead. Ah, we finally did it. DEI's dead. It's over. Listen, now is the time to be happy, celebrate, and be hopeful, but you still have to have a fire watch. You still have to be watchful and aware. Because yes, many, many, many people are having their sick communist powers taken away from them. Yes, they're closing this department and that department. But are you actually changing the hearts of these people? Have they decided to reform their evil ways and from now on they'll only do the right thing? I'll tell you what, I'm going to play that Linda Fagan video for you again. And I just want you to think, look at it this time through this lens. That was a woman who was put in charge of the Coast Guard. The Coast Guard, as much as we love to make fun of the Coasties, is a wonderful institution with an incredible history and a very important mission to guard the vast coast of the United States of America, to keep this country safe. They stand guard at night. That's what the Coast Guard does. That woman was given the incredible privilege of commanding this institution, and she promptly, watch this again through that lens, she promptly went about the business of censoring out the people she didn't want in the favor of, I don't know, a new legion of lesbians. Here she is.
We currently have nearly 40% women enrolled at the Coast Guard Academy. I'm really excited about the talent and the diversity that I see coming through the academy. My daughter is in the Coast Guard as a lieutenant, and there is just nothing but opportunity for her and all of the men and women that have joined the service. I'm really excited about the future as we look ahead.
Handed all that, and she was most excited about discriminating against white men. Do you think Linda Fagan, as she sits at home today with her cats and her crew cut, do you think that she's changed her heart? All those DEI departments at universities, after government departments, after corporations, all the little monsters who used to operate those departments, are they all sitting at home now saying to themselves, that was evil. You know what? It was wrong. It was deadly. I hurt a lot of people, and I have changed my ways. Of course you're laughing, because the answer is no. The religious zealots are just as religious today as they were yesterday. And I'm not saying all this to bring you down. We should be happy. We are seeing so many improvements. I am happy. I am so impressed. And I would tell you if I was not, would I not? I am so impressed. I'm so happy. But DEI is not dead, because DEI is communism, and communism is a religion, not a political ideology. And the adherents to that religion, they are zealots. They are evil, and they will consume and destroy without end. Yes, you can finally go to sleep. You want a good election. Knock out for a couple hours. Take a nap. You better leave a fire watch up, because I promise you the enemy is still prowling to and fro, looking for things to destroy. They haven't gone anywhere. They might be a little quieter right now. They might be crying in their Subaru Outbacks, but I promise they haven't gone anywhere. All that may have made you uncomfortable, but I am right. Robbie Starbuck is well aware of what's going on inside the government. These DEI people are hiding, and Robbie is going to join us next to discuss that. Before we get to Robbie, let's talk about your phone service. Speaking of corporations, do you think Verizon, AT&T, and T-Mobile, do you think they've just completely given up their evil ways? Sorry, guys. Woo! No more Black Lives Matter donations for us. That was wrong. You seen any of those statements? No, you haven't, because they haven't changed anything. We still have to put our money where our morals are, and your cell phone is one of, if not the easiest way to do that. Switch your cell phone service to Pure Talk. It takes 10 minutes. You can get a free phone out of the thing. You pay way less. They're on the same 5G network. PureTalk.com/JesseTV. Switch. We'll be back.
In the name of our God, I ask you to have mercy upon the people in our country who are scared now. There are gay, lesbian, and transgender children in Democratic, Republican, and independent families, some who fear for their lives. And the people who pick our crops and clean our office buildings, who labor in poultry farms and meatpacking plants, who wash the dishes after we eat in restaurants and work the night shifts in hospitals, they may not be citizens or have the proper documentation. But the vast majority of immigrants are not criminals. I ask you to have mercy, Mr. President, on those in our communities whose children fear that their parents will be taken away, and that you help those who are fleeing war zones and persecution in their own lands to find compassion and welcome here.
Just a reminder, just like I said in the opening, yes, it is a time to cheer and celebrate and feel good, because all this cultural commie filth, they are turtling up right now. They are pulling back, but they are not done destroying. They are regrouping. Joining me now, somebody who has kept them on the run, my friend, filmmaker and activist Robbie Starbuck. Robbie, it does feel good. DEI is retreating a bit right now, but they're not at all done, and they certainly haven't disappeared, have they?
No, I've heard a lot of people saying DEI is dead, and I get the reflexive desire to go celebrate, and you should. People should celebrate, but don't celebrate too hard, because it is not dead. It's like a cornered, wounded animal right now. We have the opportunity to kill DEI. We absolutely do, but it is going to take us being ferocious and showing absolutely no mercy. We have them in a great position right now because they're going to do a lot of stupid things out of, you know, trying to sort of save their own skin and their ideology. We just have to stay on top of it, and we have to be absolutely merciless in the way that we handle this.
Robbie, tell me about these executive orders you've seen so far. What do you love? What are the details of these things?
Yeah, so essentially, this is gutting DEI from the federal government, and it's setting, you know, sort of I'd say first order of business to get rid of the DEI programs, to put certain employees on leave, and to sort of draw a line in the sand of what is going to be allowed and not going to be allowed anymore. And there is some clarity I would like on one end, because they're saying that people who are attempting to conceal DEI have 10 days to come forward, and if they don't, there are going to be adverse consequences. I would like to know what those adverse consequences are. I think that's very important that we know what those consequences are. And I do think one of the next, you know, sort of orders of business for government at this point is that we need to take seriously that one of the big problems that occurred in the first Trump administration was the bureaucracy worked against him. They defied the orders of the president at every turn, or they slow walked them in an attempt to stop him from being able to do his job. I think that we need to ramp up the pressure on those bureaucrats by creating a real set of consequences that includes serious jail time. If we do that, and we actually enforce even maybe existing laws and say that this could be categorized as some form of treason, I think then we're going to be in a good footing to actually root this stuff out. I can tell you just my own experience over the last 24 hours, these agencies are attempting to conceal DEI already. I put up the documents from an NSA whistleblower last night on my X page, where it very clearly shows that the NSA was planning to conceal their DEI program under a new name. I got that up. Elon Musk responded to it. They are going to be on this. They're going to stop it. But we're going to need to go agency by agency investigating them to ensure that every piece of these programs is obliterated.
Robbie, I'm glad you exposed them for what they are, because I'm hearing very similar things about the FBI. People I know within the walls of that building are warning me. Of course, they closed down their DEI office, and all they did was send that cancer to every other part of the place so it can continue to do its work. What have you heard?
Yes, I actually posted last night, same thing. The very next group of people that came to me were from the FBI, and we're working on corroborating the details of what they gave us, but essentially it would mean the FBI was planning to do the same thing. And here's what's so dangerous, is if you don't fire these people, you're then sending a new seed to a whole new department across many different places, which I would argue is actually possibly going to be more damaging than having a standalone DEI program where they're all in one place. If you have them sort of, you know, put their roots in different sections of the agencies, you have basically moles for this ideology. And I think it's also time that we are very clear in the way we talk about DEI. This is not just an ideology that's toxic, that we don't like, that is, you know, left-wing in nature and basically, you know, allegiant to some new weird form of Marxism with very frankly bizarre tentacles. It's actually a national security threat. This is something that could really, if you let it play out, could destroy our country and could destroy our future. You saw that crazy, you know, wannabe bishop lady talking about fear for children. Well, I'm afraid for our grandchildren. They're going to live in a country that's attacked by another country, and we are so weak and discombobulated by this ideology that we're destroyed and our kids' kids are killed as a result of our failures. So we need to be on top of this now. This is a national security threat in every way, not just because we have an anti-American ideology that is festering within our government, but also because just on the very clear basis of merit, we are hiring people who are unfit to do their jobs. They're making us weaker as a byproduct, and we cannot afford to shift our standards downward to bring up people who shouldn't be there in the first place. So it's incumbent on us, and I think it says something that this is one of the first orders of business, that the Trump administration, President Trump, understands how important this issue is. We need merit once again to reign. And so it's going to be on each individual new appointee that Trump makes who is in leadership to make this their first order of business as well, and to deploy those teams to go and investigate. I myself have made myself available, no cost or anything. You know, we're not like these grifters in DEI who want consultant fees and all that stuff. I've made myself available to give every bit of advice I can give and to sort of point out where the bodies are buried within agencies. And we're happy to continue doing that and offer that advice and help in any way that we can, because this is critical to root out, or it is going to be the roots by which we see the next evil tree of leftism grow that essentially can destroy our country. The way we saw the Biden administration, they were on the way there. If Kamala had won, this would have been it. And that same tree can grow once again if you do not cut out the roots and strip them out entirely and poison the ground where it grew.
Robbie, I agree. Tell me about your fight in the corporate world. What's the update on that? That's obviously what really got rolling here. You were taking down these big commie corporations. We've got McDonald's on the run, Walmart on the run now. But are they doing the same thing we're seeing at the NSA and FBI, where they're taking the commie hag at DEI and putting her back in HR where she used to work?
So that's a good question. I'll say this. So there's a clip going around today of a lady at the World Economic Forum talking about how Walmart didn't really make changes. Well, she was wrong, but she did do something that I would like to thank her for. She named the person who told her this. And I can just say I'm in conversations right now with the company, and I think I'll be able to give an update later, either today or tomorrow, on exactly what's happening there. But I can say the companies we're working with, I would say nearly all of them, I can say with confidence, have actually gutted these programs. They've actually done what they said they were going to do, and we are checking. And I think what makes what we do a little different than people who do investigative journalism in other, you know, sort of areas is that our investigations are all predicated on the testimony of whistleblowers who work at these companies. So we can check in with them, or they can come to us if there are any issues that pop up again. And we're very clear about that with our whistleblowers. You see one thing wrong, you let us know. And it has happened a number of times where they see something wrong, they come back to us, and I'll go back to the executives, I'll talk it through with them, and we'll get the things fixed. Or in the case of one company that we're continuing to collect evidence on, they're continuing to think they're getting away with it, but we're actually just collecting evidence for a future story to be able to out them once again for their misbehavior. And so we're able to hold companies accountable because of these whistleblowers, and that's sort of what makes things very special. Now, will companies be preparing to do what we just talked about, where they just change the name and that's it? Oh, absolutely. They're doing it right now. A number of companies are doing that. But we've been collecting data on a lot of these companies for, I guess, it'd be about 8 months now. So we have a wealth of information collected in folders on most of the major American or global companies. And it's stuff we can use later to be able to sort of rein them in and correct any mistakes on the way that they're doing these things. So we're watching. It's just, you know, the difficult part for us is scaling up to handle the number of companies there are that are a problem. And so a big part of the next few weeks for us is continuing to scale up to the appropriate, you know, sort of force we need to be able to do this. And that's what we're doing right now, is getting everything prepared for the rest of the year. Because effectively, I think if we do everything correctly, we can have effectively neutered DEI to the degree that you could actually say DEI is dead in 18 to 24 months. But it's going to take concerted effort across that 18 to 24 months to really kill it. And people have to be very aware. We cannot get complacent just because Trump won the election. This is going to be a serious threat at every turn over the next 4 years, because they understand what an existential crisis this presidency is for leftism. And so it's going to take us too to motivate Trump and motivate the administration in the right direction. So people have got to stay engaged. They cannot get complacent.
Amen. man. Stay in the fight. Robbie, as always, thank you, my friend. All right. The ICE raids have begun. How's that going? Did we get anybody yet? We'll give you an update on the ICE raids, getting these illegals out of our country in just a moment. And after you hear that, you're probably going to want to go to sleep. Well, at least after the show's over. It's probably about bedtime. So, are you sure you're going to sleep tonight? I'm going to sleep tonight. I don't have any doubt. But what about if you had a cup of coffee or you can't turn your mind off? I have dream powder from Beam. I never have to go without sleep again. When I'm maybe stressed or too much caffeine or something like that, I just have a cup of hot chocolate. Cinnamon hot chocolate is delicious. Warm up a little glass of milk in the microwave, stir in some dream powder from Beam, and I just sip on it. But it's got natural things in it like melatonin, and I just go to sleep. I wake up in the morning feeling rested and good every single day. Do you want to feel like that? Get rid of that sandpaper in your eyelids. Up to 40% off at shopbeam.com/Jesse Kelly. We'll be back.
We're concentrating on the worst first, the public safety threats, the national security threats. And just yesterday, in the last 24 hours, ICE arrested over 308 serious criminals. Some of them were murderers. Some of them were rapists. Some of them raped a child. Some were a sexual assault of a child. So ICE is doing their job, and they're prioritizing just as the president said they would. So the ICE is performing excellent right now out in the field, and they're going to continue every day.
I love it. I love that they're not backing off, and I love that they're having Tom Homan on the news every day to counter all the filthy commie propaganda. Joining me now, a couple dudes who know a little bit about this stuff. Victor Avila, retired ICE special agent. I bet he's ready to go back into the game at this point. And Julio Rosas, national correspondent with The Blaze. Victor, be honest, you coming out of retirement, you've got to be tempted.
I'm ready for the call, I'll tell you that, Jesse. They call me, I'm ready. I was with Tom Homan a couple of days ago in Washington, D.C. I just got back yesterday, and this doesn't surprise me at all. These individuals and our ICE agents, HSI special agents, by the way, are also joining forces with ICE ERO officials to conduct these. Basically, what it is right now is they're doing fugitive ops, which is individuals that have been identified, that have been ordered, removed. That's why he's talking about convicted murderers, convicted rapists. These are convicted hardcore criminals that are illegal walking around in our communities. And we have a jacket on them. We have what we call a packet on them. And they're going after them and locating them and removing them.
Okay. Julio, what were we doing before? I mean, I know Joe Biden and his administration had a little bit of a different policy when it came to illegal immigration, but what Victor just said is so simple. We have a felon, a child rapist. We have a jacket on him. We know where he is, and they just what? Just weren't going to get him?
Well, it was a little complicated because Alejandro Mayorkas, he basically change who ICE prioritized in getting. And so that's why they had to meet certain criteria, extra criteria, in order to send out officers to go get them. So yes, there were similar things happening, but it was happening on a much smaller scale than what is going to be happening now under the Trump administration. And that's why, you know, when you see places like in sanctuary cities, like up in Boston or Denver, and you have the sanctuary city policies, ICE was unable to basically push back against those policies because Alejandro Mayorkas's DHS wasn't going to allow them to do that. And so now, you know, with Trump putting his team in, they are going to be more forceful and say, hey, we're the federal government. You don't tell us what to do. This is this is a public safety threat. This is a public safety concern. So let us into the jails so that we can pick them up. You don't release them without letting us know. Because as Homan has said, if they're not going to let them into the jails, then they're going to go out into the neighborhoods. And so, yes, they're going to have the target. But guess what? Now, if they find other illegal immigrants that are in the same house or in the same neighborhood, they're going to be going back home, too, because now those people are also now a priority as opposed to they weren't before.
Victor, I'm concerned about the danger, and I realize, look, any kind of law enforcement is good. It's inherently dangerous. You have to mix it up with scumbags every day. It's a dangerous job. But as Julio just mentioned, they have to go into these neighborhoods, and they're in these neighborhoods for a reason. That's where they feel most comfortable, most welcome. Are you worried about turning on the news one night and seeing some ICE agent that has been hurt, God forbid?
Absolutely. It's as top of mind as security and safety for the officers, for the community. That's why a lot of these locations, if you remember, it wasn't under the Biden administration, but it actually was all the way back to the Obama administration that I was personally affected, where I could go and pick up an individual. I couldn't go to a school. I couldn't go to a courthouse. I couldn't go to a church, a hospital. That is all out the window. We are going to be able now to go to these places where they were seeking refuge. And I personally was about to arrest a drug dealer at a school who also happened to be illegally present, and I was ordered to stand down because of the Obama policy. That is going to now go out the window and not exist. But the reason why I tell you this is because these are more controlled areas where we want to effectively do this enforcement. It's more controlled. It's better safety for everyone if we do it this way rather than do it in the street and public areas where there's more risk for the surrounding people.
Julio, they're talking about schools and churches. You know, they came out and said, well, you're not going to be able to hide in school. You're not going to be able to hide in church anymore. And I'm all game for that. Go to the hospitals, too, and get all these people out of there. But how do you handle that optics-wise so the American people don't freak out?
You remind them of names like Lincoln Riley and Rachel Moran. I mean, you remind them why we are in this position in the first place. We're in this position in the first place where all of this is necessary because the Biden-Harris administration opened the border, allowed this invasion into our country for years, and they try to hide it with this shell game through the CBP One app and the CHNV program that, you know, allowing people to fly directly in so they don't have the bad optics of these mass people at the border, which it still ended up happening just on a different scale. That's why this is necessary. This is why Trump won. The American people saw the disastrous effects that had on the nation, and they said, no, we're not going to allow this anymore. And so, yes, like it's unfortunate that it's come to this, but this is about the safety and security of the country. This is about being able to have a prosperous country and getting rid of gangs like Tren de Aragua, which I just cannot stress enough, did not have a foothold in our country prior to 2021. It was, no one had even heard of it. People still don't know how to pronounce its name, because that's how foreign it still is in some regards. So I know that there's going to be pushback against this. I know that the media is going to do everything they can to shift the narrative about it. But this is not just happening because Trump wants to be mean to brown people. It's happening because the migrants themselves are victims. It's because American citizens have become victims of this. And it's trying to prevent future victims like Lincoln Riley.
Eric Adams went on Tucker Carlson. This is what he had to say.
I spoke with the president himself. I spoke with the president first. Then the president came here to New York City. The governor and I sat down with the president. And I said, Mr. President, I'm not sure what they're telling you about this problem, but this is a terrible problem that's playing out on the ground that we need to fix our border. And we need to just stop allowing people to come into the country with no destiny.
And so you tell the president and his aides this, and what do they say?
Basically, be a good Democrat, Eric.
Be a good Democrat?
That was the basic overall theme. You know, one of his aides told me that, listen, this is like a gallstone. It'll pass.
What? It's like a gallstone, it'll pass.
Yes. It'll hurt now, but it'll pass.
Well, you pee it out then. Right. Why do you have to?
Well said.
Victor, so the Democrat Party from top to bottom is simply committed to keeping the border open, and being a good Democrat means opening it and not saying anything about it. Do I have that right?
Yeah, because they don't really care. They don't care about Americans. They care about themselves. But here's my concern, and I've been hearing this a little bit, that you're going to hear and from a lot of these Democrat and sanctuary cities that they're willing. We're going to help you. please, ICE, come and actually do what you have to do. We're not going to impede you. We might even support you. But then actually on the floor, on the ground, in the field, you're not, they're not actually getting the help, and they're not opening the, you know, the door for them to come in. That's going to be a bigger concern for me. Julio mentioned the jails. Well, give us access to Rikers then. You know how many illegal aliens are in there? We already know that the ones that are having contact with criminal justice systems across the country, those are the ones that we want. They're already in a custody. Let's just pick them up there and transfer them from there to our ICE facility and process them out. This is where, where the rubber meets the road. We don't want to hear words from them anymore. We want to see the action from these sanctuary towns.
Julio, finally, isn't that illegal? I mean, look, Victor's right. You got a bunch of people in Rikers, in Cook County Jail. I mean, you name it, there's all kinds of illegals sitting in there. And I know all these towns are run by a bunch of dirtball commies, but you don't just get to protect them, right? I don't care what policies you pass. You can't violate federal law.
Yeah, no, you're absolutely right. And that's why actually today it's been reported that Trump's DOJ, they are now sending out guidance to their people. They said, you know, investigate any state or local official that's going to be impeding our efforts to enforce immigration law, which presumably that will mean pressuring them to actually open up the jails and let them get the targets out and put them into custody instead of, again, releasing them out into the street to commit more crimes. I mean, it's so insane that this has been allowed to happen for a very long time. And it is unfortunate that it had to reach this level for, you know, the pressure in, from DC to go out into the rest of the country, but it seems to be going into that direction. And Victor's absolutely right that some of them might, you know, have the nice words, but we're gonna have to see what actually happens on the ground. And so I'm looking forward to be able to help report on that and see that firsthand for myself. Just because, you know, the most transparent administration in history, the Biden-Harris administration, they completely locked out media from Border Patrol, from DHS. Yeah, the last time I was with Border Patrol, actually, or with CBP, was in October of 2020, right before the election. That was the last time I had any sort of, you know, embed or ride-along with them. And, of course, they did that because they didn't want people to actually see what was happening. And any time they did allow that to happen, the few times, it was very tightly controlled. So I'm looking forward to, you know, seeing progress on this.
Yeah, me too. Fellas, be good. Come back soon. All right. Apparently there was a big mRNA rollout last night. Let's talk about that and other things. Jeffrey Tucker joins us next. Okay, first of all, who's Ross Ulbricht? He was a founder of something called Silk Road, and he was in the pen for a very, very, very long time. Trump came out yesterday and said, nope, get out of jail free, do not pass go, do not collect $200. But who is this guy? Most people don't know this story. Joining me now to talk about that and other things is the great Jeffrey A. Tucker, founder and president of Brownstone Institute. Okay, Jeffrey, who is this character?
He was just a good kid. He was came of age in the utopian tech period where people were innovating this and innovating that. He was looking at the drug war, saying this drug war is not working. So he decided to put together on the dark web a marketplace that was a free market, as he described it. Mostly, most of the products that were for sale on the Silk Road was weed of the sort that you can get in any big city retail shop now, but it also had other narcotics, but it also had very careful, it was a very interesting place. I went there one time, user ratings for things that were for sale. So it brought some accountability and also safety for people that use these drugs. And of course, there are many. And it meant that they weren't going to be risking their lives in strange neighborhoods and dealing with strange people and getting strange products. So it was quite an innovative idea, but the entire thing was invaded by the usual types, right? So suddenly the feds were all over it. And when it really fell apart, they arrested him and scapegoated him for the behavior of many other actors who got off scot-free. I assume that we have all assumed for 10 years that it was because they were essentially federal actors, and confiscated all of his Bitcoin and then put him through a trial where the judge gave him two lifetimes plus 40 years, which is, you know, just for a nice kid who never dealt drugs. He was just created a website, and that was it. It's just kind of a fiery passion that he had in his early 20s. That was it. And to get two lifetimes plus 40 years is, how should I say, excessive. So he served 10, and his case got the attention of Trump, and Trump said, this is just scum. This was a mistake the guy made, and but there's no reason to destroy several lifetimes of his. So he's letting him out of prison, and now he's going to be, if he wants to be, a major star, you know, in the tech community and elsewhere. So it's quite a glorious thing. His mother, Lynn Olbricht, had been working for this for 10 years. I remember when he was first sentenced. She was going around to various meetings where she could get a hearing and trying to plead his case. And I befriended her, and I was always speaking out on behalf of Ross because I always liked him. I thought he was a good guy, a product of his time in many ways. But she, pretty much alone, made his case a cause célèbre, you know, and made him kind of famous in certain circles, and eventually caught the ear of Trump and Musk, and now it's done. So that happened yesterday. So we're going to try to let him get settled and deal with his new life as a free man after having believed he was going to be in prison for life, to be suddenly out, and he's got his whole life ahead of him. So we're excited for him.
Jeffrey, could you just answer this, and then we'll move on to other things. When I hear two life sentences plus some, then when I look at the crimes, they don't add up, and that normally means he offended somebody or some entity in the feds. You know, that's exactly why Gotti got thrown to the clink. It wasn't just because he was a murderer and a psychopath. He kept thumbing his nose at the feds publicly. That creates anger, and the feds take it out on you. What did he do that made them so mad?
You know, I've thought about this a lot, and I'm sure he's had a lot of time to think about this. We'll be talking about this in the coming months, I'm sure. But for one thing, he accepted the marketplace accepted Bitcoin, which in those days was seen as being this non-state currency that guaranteed financial independence. It was one of the first big deployments of this new currency. So there was that. The other thing that troubles me slightly is when I think about this marketplace, and I know your viewers are looking at this going, oh, a drug marketplace, that's terrible. But actually the biggest people that were threatened by such a thing, you know, a peer-to-peer marketplace for weed and narcotics would have been the drug cartels and the governments that work most closely with him. And we know those are most governments in the world. So, you know, one wonders to what extent this was actually just a cartel deep state operation to punish the guy for competing with him. I mean, I can't prove that, but that seems to me there's more to it than what we've been told, and I suspect it may be something like that.
Two life sentences plus 40. Something's not adding up there. Okay, let's change gears. We all saw the inauguration, and we all saw the lefty tech bros were all there. Bezos was there. Zuckerberg was there. Bezos's new arm candy was there. And now, yesterday, we were treated to this press conference. The CEO of Oracle, Larry Ellison, got up and said this.
Once we gene sequence that cancer tumor, you can then vaccinate the person, design a vaccine for every individual person to vaccinate them against that cancer. And you can make that vaccine, that mRNA vaccine, you can make that robotically, again using AI, in about 48 hours. So imagine early cancer detection, the development of a cancer vaccine for your particular cancer aimed at you, and have that vaccine available in 48 hours. This is the promise of AI and the promise of the future.
Jeffrey, I'm fine with medical innovation. I love it. You know, I'm glad we have the life expectancy we have. All that sounds positively horrific for me, and you're going to have to count me out on all that.
Yeah. I like this attitude. I mean, just refuse any product called mRNA. That's it. Consumers themselves can drive this nonsense off the marketplace if they ever attempt to deploy it. AI has nothing to do with anything. This is just a stupid buzzword they're throwing around. And then Elon Musk revealed after the fact that they don't have anything like the money that they're talking about right now. So it was 100% lies. I don't understand how Elizabeth Holmes is in jail right now. But this guy, you know, is scot-free going around promoting these snake oil gibberish on TV, lying to everybody about it. It's appalling. Now, I have had people tell me that they think this is disreputable and discreditable to Trump, that he would have given platform to this kind of gibberish. But, you know, I really do think one way possibly to look at Trump's involvement in this is that he just likes the fact that these tech moguls are now having to kiss his ring and say, oh, if it weren't for you, Mr. President, we would never be able to do this. Oh, we're big fans of you. We love what you're doing to this country, blah, blah, blah. And that's just sort of music to Trump's ears. These people have all been supporters of Obama and then Biden. You know, the tech bros went full left wing. And for them to shift and turn to Trump is a delicious irony. Whether he takes it seriously or not, you know, I can't say for sure. But I will tell you this. He feels like he was lied to by Fauci on the mRNA technology, which they told him that the magic of mRNA technology would be deployed to fix, you know, fix the great flu from Wuhan. It didn't work. So he's deeply suspicious of all these kind of medical hucksters that are out there. I do think it's interesting that one of the things that Trump did last night is he froze all activities of the CDC and the NIH and the FDA, all of them, froze them all. No public communications at all until he says otherwise. So that gives you a sense of what his real views are on the health bureaucracies.
Yeah, what do you make of that particular move? He leaves the WHO, World Health Organization. He tells the CDC, FDA, all communications, done now. I'll let you know when you can speak again. That sounds to me like there's going to be a little cleanup coming.
I think so. I was actually very impressed by that. And I looked back at the CDC and what they had been saying over the last several weeks. And their last communique was, I think, January... I forget now the exact date, but may have been January 10th, something like that, and is promoting the so-called One Health, which is an integrated, you know, buzzwords, but what it's saying, trying to say is that bugs, caterpillars, and birds are no less important than human beings, and that, you know, that everything is the same. This is sort of the corruption of One Health. It's one thing to say all life depends on other life. Okay, fine, that's beautiful. We can read about that in children's cartoons and stuff. But the for the CDC to be promoting this One Health stuff, it's deeply dangerous and deeply totalitarian. So I can't say for sure, but I'm just looking at that last communique from the CDC and thinking this would have driven Trump crazy. And he just might have just said, listen, I don't know what these bastards are up to, but here's the plan. Nothing. Say nothing. No communications. Your weekly publication, MMWR, which was evil during COVID. I mean, they were putting out fake science every single day. I mean, it was appalling, the lies that were coming out in the MMWR. I mean, it got so bad that Brownstone was actually considering starting a publication to do nothing but refute the lies of the MMWR. Well, he shut it down. I mean, he shut it down yesterday. So now the CDC, FDA, NIH are not allowed to say anything, nor are they allowed to change any aspect of the website. Because don't forget, in his first term, the CDC was issuing edicts that he had no idea what they were issuing. On March 12th, 2020, the CDC sent out a notification that all ballots should be mail-in for the November election. This was March 12th, 2020. Now, did they ask the White House about that? I won't think so. They're operating as a rogue agency trying to overthrow the president. They were enabling voter fraud. This was already from March 12, 2020. So this is the kind of nonsense that went on in the first term. And he didn't know. You know, he arrived thinking that he was the president and everybody should go along with what his wishes were. But he didn't understand just how evil people out there would use these agencies to undermine him. So he's taken full control. And the actually one of the most interesting things is, I think probably you and I have talked about this in the past, is the Schedule F executive order that came a fortnight before he left office the last time, which would have reclassified many people in the civil service as being having jobs that were responding directly to the president, which is to say their jobs could be terminated if they were somehow undermining the administration's priorities. So the new Schedule F came out yesterday, and it's the same old Schedule F except broadened this time. It's not using the word Schedule F now. It uses policy/career, which I think is deliberately ambiguous, meaning that every career employee of the federal government, we're talking about maybe 2 million people, that deals with policy is ipso facto now working for the elected leader of the people. So it's a restoration of government by the people. This looks to me, for all the world, I've read it like 3 to 5 times, and I'm not an attorney, but it looks to me like a return to 19th century America before the Pendleton Act of 1883. So what it means is that these bureaucrats are actually going to be either they have to work for the American people, or they're going to have to quit, be fired. And that's where we're headed. So, yeah, and I'm sure you're pleased by this. I mean, I'm delighted in ways. I was expecting some surprises here because I knew they kept all this stuff under wraps for a very long time. But I must say I've been pleasantly surprised. And we need to be careful about messaging on this. People are saying, oh, he's behaving like a dictator. Oh, he's issuing these executive orders. This is terrible. But actually, if you look at them, every one of them is restoring government to the people. Every one of them is restoring constitutional structures and getting rid of all the ways in which the Constitution has been undermined. And that goes for birthright citizenship, too, which, I don't think was ever implied by the 14th Amendment. So I think in so many ways, people say he's behaving like a dictator. I don't think so. What he's doing is exercising authority over the government and the deep state and the administrative state that has for so long actually really been running America, despite whoever the president was. They're the ones who have been in charge for the last 4 years. So these are extraordinary actions. And I love the fact that the pundit class, and that includes me, can barely keep up with him. I mean, it's a brilliant thing. He's driving the news cycle, so the media has been shut out. You read the New York Times now, and it's nothing other than what you read already on X yesterday. So this is kind of fun. I'm enjoying it. And so far, I have to give an A+ to the way government's been conducted.
Me too. I am all on board. Jeffrey, thank you so much, my friend. I know you're under the weather. I hope you feel better. Thank you. That was wonderful. We have Light in the Mood next. All right, let's lighten the mood. And before we do that, I have a little announcement I need to make about the YouTube channel. You know how I always tell you to go subscribe to the YouTube channel? Well, my radio show starts at 6 p.m. Eastern Time. If you want to watch the TV show early, instead of at 9 p.m. Eastern, watch it at 5 p.m. Eastern. You want to catch the TV show early? Go subscribe to the YouTube channel. It'll be right there for you. So how about that? Take your little phone, scan that little thing, subscribe to the YouTube channel. It's free. Now, it's time for Light in the Mood. The mayor of Philadelphia had a little rally for the Eagles. The Eagles. E-A-G-L-E-S. But that's tougher than it sounds sometimes.
E-L-G! G-S-E-S Eagles! Let's go, birds!
I don't think that was it. I'll see you tomorrow.
Why should you listen to Armstrong and Getty On Demand?
We're not boring. A lot of news is boring.
And tedious.
And depressing.
And makes you angry. You don't want to live your life like that.
Hey, I'm Jack Armstrong. He's Joe Getty.
We're Armstrong and Getty.
We try to bring you the truth.
And help you figure out this crazy modern world.
About something about a comedic tone.
We have a winner.
Yes. Listen to Armstrong and Getty On Demand on the iHeartRadio app,
Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.